I'm Susie Larson. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Susie Larson Live. It's only just a matter of. Welcome to Susie Larson Live. I'm always honored to get to spend this time with you. In fact, I look forward to bringing you conversations every single day that hopefully inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's Word, and that heightens your awareness of His very real presence in your life. Well, with one of the most pivotal elections just days away, many are feeling angst, fear, angry, stressed, the fear of the unknown. The uncertainty of a flawed voting system and the wear and tear of political ads have taken their toll on the soul, haven't they? So what should you do if you're experiencing election anxiety? Did you know that's actually a thing? Do you have to wait until the election is over to decide whether or not you'll be joyful, have peace, and somehow find a way to embrace the life God's entrusted to you? I posted this on my social media platforms last night. I don't know how this next week will play out, but these things I do know. Humility is beautiful. Kindness still counts. Honor needs to make a comeback. Civility goes a long way. Love heals the deepest wounds, and revival is still possible. And Jesus, well, He's the source of all these things. I'm so grateful to have Dr. Gregory Jantz on the show today to talk about not only election anxiety, but the stress of the times and how to find our way back to peace and rest, no matter how things shake out next week. My prayer for you is by the end of this hour, you will have a new grounded sense of hope and some practical tools for navigating the times. And I'm super thrilled. This was sort of a last minute thing. My producer, Ryan Mitchell, reached out to Dr. Jantz's people. I'm so excited. He's got a new book titled Healing Depression for Life, a personalized approach that offers new hope for lasting relief. We've got a few copies of this hardcover book, Healing Depression for Life. If you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. And throughout the conversation, if you've got questions, comments about just how this has felt for you, some of the things that are stressing you, maybe keeping you up at night, that you worry most about, I want you to engage in the conversation. It always means so much to hear from you, to hear what's on your heart. And Dr. Jantz can speak to some of those things as well. Again, same text line, just a different text, 877-933-2484. Let me tell you about my guest. We'll get him on the show. Dr. Jantz is a best-selling author of, count them, 39 books, including his latest groundbreaking, the one we're giving away today, Healing Depression for Life. He's a go-to media source expert for a range of behavioral-based afflictions as well as drug and alcohol addictions. He's appeared on many of the major media outlets, and we're so grateful to have him with us today. Dr. Jantz, welcome to the show.
Oh, so good to be with you, and boy, what an important topic.
Oh, indeed it is. I'm really looking forward to the conversation. And we love to start every day, Dr. Jantz, talking scripture. I'm wondering if there's a passage you've been pondering these days you could share with us.
Well, I am thinking today, in particular on this day, about our promise in that old book of Jeremiah. And I know it's one that many are so familiar with, but talks about having a future and a hope. And I'm thinking today, you know, hope comes when Jeremiah 2:11, hope comes when we are at a place in our life where we need a plan. And I think right now, more than any, I'm just seeing, you know what, there's desperation, there's like a sense of uncertainty for future, and we need God's promise. 29:11 to go back and to anchor us that God has promised for us that future, and the future He has for us and the future that He has for us is good. I'm just thinking about, man, that's got to be my point of focus.
That's fantastic. And thinking also as you're talking, Hebrews 10:23, let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for He who promised is faithful. So we're not, you know, we can hope for a certain outcome, but our hope is in the living God who establishes us. I think that's a hugely important distinction. So before we get into just talking about the times and the toll, give me a little backstory on your journey of how God led you to become someone who helps people.
Well, part of the journey, really, when I was in college, I really had a vision for, I really felt that psychology alone really missed the mark, and I felt like we needed to have, I didn't know what to call it at the time, but my vision was for whole person care. and really bringing together the spiritual piece, the medical, our nutrition, our medical, our counseling, and if there's addiction, but bringing it all together. And really our vision was to build teams for each individual that comes to us. And, you know, of course we serve people from all over the country who come to us, and it's really, we want to have long-term success, and we want to have a whole person success. So my vision was really when I was back in college, not knowing, but knowing that we needed to do some things differently to really have that long-term healing.
Boy, you were ahead of your time, because I think everybody knows now we are integrated. We're not compartmentalized as much as we would like to be. And all of these aspects of who we are impact the other aspects. So to bring them all together and address the whole person. Wow, that's a beautiful thing. Well, before we talk about election anxiety, I have a question for you. And I do know that years from now, I'm thinking years from now, we'll look back on this pandemic and say, you know, wow, there's so much we didn't know. So much maybe we could have done differently. This is new territory. I checked the numbers today. Almost 9 million cases in the U.S., 228,000 deaths. It's just unbelievable. But then you consider the collateral damage, the increase in domestic violence, child abuse, suicide, addiction. When we look back and realize there's a lot we could have done differently regarding the collateral damage, if so, what would that be? Or is this just the added stress of that kind of a virus?
Well, one of the things, and I'm looking at it from a behavioral health perspective, is we know that when we confine people, so people have been confined, and we do it for a long period of time, so there's been chronic stress, and we've mixed that with fear and unknowns. I mean, we've really been through the plagues here, and so modern-day plagues, and but the future has such uncertainty and unrest. I think what we know is our depression, and particularly right now, anxiety is the biggest mental health issue that we're seeing, anxiety, depression, followed by addiction. Addiction numbers are way, way up. So there's a price to pay. We also know that suicide and suicide attempts are very high, and we're told that there's to expect those to increase.
I'm thinking about, and again, friends, I promise you, we're going to get to the hope piece here in just a moment, but we're just looking at the context of why are people stressed? Why are people suicidal? Why? I think we all probably know that from a 30,000-foot view, but you get into these individual stories, and the accumulative stress is pretty significant. I mean, I know that there's a physiological impact to hugging someone, like embracing someone does something for your physiology, or touching someone, grabbing their arm and smiling in their face and being in their space. Those are all really important dynamics to our mental, emotional, relational health. I mean, so we've been deprived of that, and that's tough.
Absolutely. And then there's the social anxiety that you just said is, I don't know what's okay. I guess it's not okay to shake a hand. It's not okay to hug anybody. And so we added a layer of fear to normal social interactions.
Wow. And then you look at the open of the show, I talked about election anxiety. But, you know, as we were talking, that even though our, you know, like our health is not compartmentalized, we're mind, body, soul, spirit. In the same way, our stress is not exactly compartmentalized, because I really believe some of that civil unrest, it's been a long time coming because, you know, of the true issue of racism in our country. But also, I wonder how much of it was explosive because people had been locked up and so stressed out. And I mean, you just can see the accumulative stress. So as we're looking now forward at election anxiety, it's not the standalone, I'm just stressed about the election. There's an accumulative nature, isn't there, of everything we've been through in 2020
that's just amping up
the stress?
We've been in a period of chronic stress. It hasn't let up. And we have layers and layers of the stress. There's been financial stress. There's been job stress. There's been relationship stress. Domestic violence is up, unrest in our country, riots, uncertainty. And so we mix all that together. That's intense.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're going to pause here. When we come back, we're going to start talking about what are some practical ways you can navigate these times with a grounded sense of hope. What are some, you know, brain hacks you can do to reroute your thoughts and reframe your perspective? Did you know election anxiety is actually a thing? And there actually are symptoms that go along with election anxiety. So right after the break, we'll define that, describe that. We do have several copies of Dr. Jantz's book, Healing Depression for Life, a personalized approach that offers new hope for lasting relief. If you want in on the drawing, text the word book to 877-933-2484. Maybe you didn't even need that segment to say, yeah, I know it's been a stressful year, but it really has taken a significant toll on certain individuals more than others. So what do we do about it? We'll talk about that on the other side. We'll be back in a minute. Hope in the Lord alone. In fact, Dr. Wiersbe said, this is not a hope-so hope. It is a no-so hope. Our hope is in the living God. We hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. He's faithful. Thanks for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live, talking to Dr. Gregory Jantz about election anxiety. In fact, I would love for you to chime into the conversation. How are you feeling about the election? Is there anything about it that's stressing you out? Do you feel a sense that your candidate's going to win? Are you angry, full of angst, uncertainty? Are you at peace? I would love for you to chime in. 877-933-2484. Just send me a text. And also, we've got three copies of Dr. Jantz's new book, hardcover book, Healing Depression for Life, a personalized approach that offers new hope for lasting relief. Text the word book in a separate text if you want in on the drawing. 877-933-2484. So Dr. Jantz, election anxiety, that's actually a thing, and there are actually symptoms associated. What do you say?
Well, anxiety means there's physical symptoms. So we're dealing with people who, they're waking up in the middle of the night, their heart is racing, they're sweaty, and they're kind of gasping for air. So in essence, they're having like a panic attack while they sleep. And yes, they're feeling worry and panic about the future. They have a sense of despair. So we are seeing that. When we use the word anxiety, it's always describing physical symptoms that come along with it. So it's different than worry. Anxiety, I may have so much fear, it's hard to make a decision. I got a headache, I got sweaty palms, my heart rate's up, I feel anxiousness or worry in my stomach and fear throughout my body. So anxiety has those physical symptoms.
Okay, sorry. I thought you were saying more. Your voice went up, and I thought, there's more there. Okay.
Oh,
all right.
Sorry.
That's okay. No. So what advice do you have for the listener right now who's filled with fear about the upcoming election? They're feeling the stress about it, and they feel it physiologically. What advice do you have?
Well, I think one of the things that we all know to have concern, to have some anxiety, I'm going to say is probably pretty normal. But if we keep that as our point of focus, and my point of focus is those things that give me happiness or not, if that's my point of focus, and it doesn't turn out as I believe it has to, then that can be pretty devastating, more despair. And so we have to move our point of focus to what's God's word say about our future, and how can I move towards being, maybe it's being of service to somebody else. Maybe it's I'm going to really ask God to show me more of what my mission and calling is. So this is an opportunity to reset some things in one's personal life versus regret. So we're going to reset. And, you know, there are a lot of folks, there is somewhat of a revival happening throughout our land, and there are people who are coming to trust God like never before, and that's a good thing.
Indeed. Well, Karen writes in, she says, I'm at peace because God's kingdom is forever. And Deanna says, as a Christian, I feel blessed that we can trust that God is in control whatever happens. We pray, we seek his will, and then we rest in him. She said, I feel sad for those who don't have peace. And then Carter wrote in, I'm going to write in Susie Larson for president. And well, we digress. Anyway, yeah, so funny. All right. So I loved how I was watching one of your other interviews, and I love how you said that we need to move from self-absorption to self-care. Talk about how we get to that place of self-absorption. I'm sure it's involved with self-preservation as well, but the impacts of it as well.
You know, self-absorption just really means I've become so saturated with worry. I'm worrying about my fam. I'm overly worried, so much so that I don't have a clear mind. I've lost that ability to have a sound mind when I'm self-absorbed. I may, after being self-absorbed for so long, I may want to turn to addictive behaviors. And this is why, you know, alcohol sales are way up. This is why we're seeing addiction go up. Because we become so self-absorbed, it's overwhelming, and we start to look for another way to cope. And sometimes we don't always choose the best ways.
Well, let's take alcohol for a moment. You know, overconsumption of alcohol, I think if I remember right, is a depressant. For at least leaves you feeling lethargic and unmotivated and can impact your sleep and other things. And I know you say it's so important to look at the choices that I'm making for coping. Will I regret them on the other side? Say a word more about that.
We will regret. Here's what it's like. Addiction's a ticking time bomb. We become secretly involved with alcohol. Maybe it's a food addiction. We're looking for comfort. And we do that after a while, and the ticking time bomb is something will break. My physical health, I will make mistakes, but my joy drops off. I become more anxious. And you said it so well. Alcohol is what we call a central nervous system depressant. But then overuse of alcohol creates this anxiety. Most people will wake up feeling anxious. So physically, you're creating a problem, and then emotionally, it's added to.
So do me a favor. I'm putting you on the spot here, but when you think about self-absorption versus self-care, give me some examples back and forth. Self-absorption would be this. Self-care would look like this. Self-absorption, this. Self-care, this. What do you say?
Oh, sure. Well, self-absorption, we've talked a little bit about alcohol, would be secret drinking. Self-care would be, I'm going to drink that liter of water that I needed. I'm going to go out. I'm going to go for that 20-minute walk. So it's generally a choice between ultimately a destructive behavior and a life-giving behavior.
All right. And Terry writes this in, Susie, even though I plan to vote and hope my candidate wins, no matter the outcome, I will be at peace. I know that God is sovereign over all. I bow to his plan and to his will. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Terry, we sure love you. That's fantastic. Wow. You know, you
that
say
was to, wonderful.
Isn't that great? Very good. We have such amazing, amazing listeners, truly. Another thing you say, when we look at our coping mechanisms and we look at just sort of our default reactions, because it is too much to take in. So our default response is going to be, I need to escape. I need to cope. I got to do something different because I can't keep feeling this way. And the thing is, you're right. You can't keep saturating ourselves in so much bad news and crisis and conflict. But you say maybe when you look at your default reactions, if they are self-absorbed, kind of, to look at an opposite action, to do the thing that maybe you don't want to do but that you know is good for you. Say more about that.
Yes, and those are always initially the more difficult. Oh, it's a whole lot easier just to, graze away on some food than go out for a 20-minute walk with a verse on a 3x5 card saying it out loud. Okay. It's a whole lot easier to turn to the food. The destructive choices are easy defaults that we make because they're just easy. But, you know, you went out for that 20-minute walk and you read that verse out loud from that card you wrote down, or the verse you wrote down on that 3x5 card. Wow. You come back. I suspect your spirit will be refreshed. You probably might sleep just a little better. You know, so think about caring for our temple. This is the season of self-care versus being self-absorbed.
When you think about it, I mean, the enemy is having a heyday on our health, our mental, physical, relational, spiritual health, because on one hand, you've got some scary situations, and then you've got this kind of forced quarantine, and then you've got, and whatever you've been doing up to this point to cope privately in small ways is going to come out in big ways. But you think about the impact on your physical health. If this is a time to build up your health reserves so you don't get the virus, or if you do get it, you fight it well, you can see how the enemy's baiting you into self-destructive choices that just leave you physiologically weaker. I mean, fear weakens you, and so does all of the excess consumption weakens you at the end of the day. And that's, to me, it's that kind of subtle way the enemy baits us into stealing from us, don't you think?
Yes, yes. You know, I want to mention, because there can be a real fear stronghold. You know, fear has a spiritual side. It brings us down. It immobilizes us. It causes self-doubt. It causes us to question God when you're so full of fear. And so we want to look at this and go, okay, I'm going to work on being bold in my faith. I'm going to, because faith is a good antidote to being controlled by fear. Now, it takes some practice. Oh, does it take practice? And we all got to keep practicing it. But it works.
Well, we've got about a minute and a half before our break at the bottom of the hour, and maybe you can start talking about it and pick it up on the other side. But, you know, it is true that these are times that as Christians we need to be alert and sober and prayerful, for sure. That's one thing, though. The other thing is catastrophizing and believing for the worst. And you, some of the stuff we hear on the news, if not most of it, is so hyped up and exaggerated that it puts us in that state of fight flight. So maybe say a word, if you would, about the distinction between being sober, being understanding the times with a heart of peace and hope and faith, and being wrapped up in kind of catastrophizing and believing for the worst, bracing for impact.
Yes, and I think if we stay absorbed in the news media and particularly social media, if we keep that as the main thing going in our mind, that's going to move you towards an uncertain, fearful future. We need to remember that as far as, you know, it's the fear that pulls us in to read a story, and we'll just keep going from really fear-oriented story to the next one. I just want to caution and be aware of that and the effects that that can have on you. Mm-hmm. We know that those who spend most of their day in and out of social media, at the end of the day, do you feel better or worse? And, you know, most people are going to answer, I don't feel so good. I feel worse.
All right. Well, on the other side of the break, let's talk about some ways we can proactively manage good mental health, good relational health, good spiritual emotional health. There are choices we can make today, and there's actually a way to approach next week with a grounded sense of hope and peace. Like some of our listeners says, God is on his throne, and he is the Prince of Peace. We're going to trust him. We'll be back in a minute. Had to let that song play out. I thought you needed a moment to breathe. Thanks for tuning in to Susie Larson Live as we're heading into a really pivotal election next week. Stress is high, anger is high, and anxiety is raging, it seems. We as God's people don't have to go there. And it's good. Just take a time, just take a moment to just breathe. In fact, I want you to think about this. What if, you know, I did an author interview. As an author, I was on a radio show in Canada years ago for one of my books. And after the interview was done, the host said, well, that we're, by law, we have to now bring someone on with an opposing view to yours. Basically to dismantle everything I just said from a biblical perspective. But I'm thinking, what if the news media had to do that? Like, what if for every piece of bad news, they had to show good news? Because do you know what? That there are true stories of a police officer in a black community on his knees with a black leader, both praying for their community. There are stories of Republicans and Democrats praying together. There are husbands and wives who are deciding to stay together instead of give up. With kids underfoot, they're finding a way to do it. What if news media was forced to, for every sensational story, they had to tell you a sensational great story? Because they're out there. This is why we got to limit our intake of all that bad news. So I'm off my platform now. I've got Dr. Gregory Jantz on the show today, and we're giving away a few copies of his book, Healing Depression for Life, a personalized approach that offers new hope for lasting relief. You can text the word book to 877-933-2484. So I'd said before the break, Dr. Jantz, it's one thing to be sober and alert, as Scripture calls us to. It's a whole other thing to catastrophize and just bracing for impact all the time. And the truth of the matter is there is a lot to be celebrated in our now lives that we miss when we're in that fight flight. So talk, if you would, about the power and the importance of celebrating what's right in our world.
I think we need to really work on gratitude, gratefulness in our relationships, and that produces more optimism. And so we do need, and I love the word celebrate, it's really easy right now in particular to get into that mode of a negative mindset. There's something that we call ants, automatic negative thoughts. Okay.
Wow.
Some of us have too many ants. They're automatic negative thoughts. And it's really easy to kind of lean that way because there's a lot of negative out there. But what if we started every day and began to create a gratitude journal? And in that journal, we put three things each day or five that you're grateful for. My wife, who a number of years ago went through some chemotherapy and some cancer treatment, and one of the things that she did, she started a gratitude journal. Now, this has been, I think we're going on starting year eight that she's been doing this. And she's up, this may sound amazing, but I asked her about a week ago, how many gratitudes do you have in all your journals? And it's a number I remember, it was 20,200. Out of 20,200 gratitudes, how do you even think of those things? And she said, I think it probably was one of the things that saved my life. And so when we put this in perspective, gratitude is powerful. And, you know, we are told, reminded to praise God. And so there's power in our praise. And that's a form of gratitude. So maybe we need to move from automatic negative thoughts and really begin to start our day with a grateful heart and just maybe over a month, see the difference that could make.
Amen. And, you know, that's just a great moment for a plug that we're doing a live stream event with Dr. Troy on the genius, the power of gratitude. Mark your calendars for November 15th, it's a Sunday night. Just mark your calendars. You'll hear more about that coming up. Linda writes in, says, so appreciate what he just said about faith being an antidote to fear and that it takes practice. She said, so often, especially someone who's had a history of spiritual, emotional, or mental trauma, the enemy tells us that if faith has any accompanying uncertainty, it's weak faith or at best false faith. Thank you for helping reframe the need to practice fighting fear with faith. Wow, Linda, very well put. And that's a good word. Wow. All right, let's talk, if we can, about some of the kind of hacks that you suggest as far as, because we're not wired for 24/7 bad news. So especially in these next few days and maybe even the week after the election, digital detox, exercise, and find your positive people. So start with digital detox.
Yeah. Well, this is what I, when I say we digitize our brain, really what I'm saying there is we're spending too much time in a digital world and it blunts our emotion. Mm. If you've ever had a kid who they went a little too long on the games or maybe online school, and it's like, you know, they come out of it and they kind of have a little glaze and their emotions are blunted and maybe they seem irritable. There is a over-digitization of our emotions. It will make you irritable. Wow. So how about finding, you know, ways, maybe I really need to work on limiting that.
Very good.
So that's a powerful one.
Mm-hmm. And we've talked about this one on the show before, but it sure is worth mentioning again. Movement, exercise. Say a word if you would.
Yeah, the new word is movement. We don't like the word exercise anymore. It's kind of like the word diet, I guess.
Yes.
So get the movement up. But the difference that here's, if you have something important to talk to somebody about, maybe it's a kid, whatever, you're, take them outside for a walk, engage in some physical activity. There are, our brain works differently. We think differently. You will speak differently if you're going out for a walk and you're working on problem solving something. If you say, you use an example of a kid, sit down right now and you listen to me, look at me in the eyes. You know, the kid's eyes, they're going to be glazed over and they're not going to remember a thing you just said on the lecture. And then as a parent, we'll say, did you hear what I said? And of course the kid goes, uh-huh. And then as a parent, you step in the next trap. You go, okay, tell me what I just said. And the kid goes, I don't know. So, you know, it's a pattern of too strong of emotion. When we need to problem solve like that, shuts down the brain.
So movement, that's one example, but movement is so important. And it's one of those things, it takes some kind of initiative to get going, but you always are so grateful on the other side. Another one you say is find your positive people. I love that. So, and again, you might be surrounded by people who are media junkies and you're all feeding off of each other. But even scripture, Dr. Jance talks about how, you know, gossip and, you know, accusations, those kind of things are like gasoline on a fire. So say a word, if you would, about finding your positive people.
Well, we all need somebody in our life that, you know, they're speaking a blessing over us. They're believing in our future. They're believing in who God made us to be. They're just speaking a positive word over us. And I don't mean denying problems. I don't mean that at all. But they are operating from that hope perspective, that Jeremiah 29:11 perspective that says there is hope. And there is hope. And I'm going to speak those words of hope. I'm going to practice that with other people. Maybe I'm going to really look for how can I be of service to somebody today? How can I show love and affection to somebody today? You never know whose life you may touch.
Wow. Talk about other ways that we can stay mentally healthy during this time. Anything, and just tools that we can really employ to, you know, because I was in the fitness world for a long time and I battle health issues. So I'm very diligent. I have to be around my health, but I'm passionate about it too, because I see the fruit of it. But just in the same way, there's a workout in the brain, basically learning new things, shutting down old neural pathways by refusing to go to some of those places of fear and anxiety and self-berating thoughts. So do you have any just sort of practical tools that people can activate even now for just that caring for their mental health?
Yeah, take 7 3x5 cards. I know that's something you don't see that often anymore. Blank ones. And go ahead and write down maybe 7 different scriptures, and probably relatively short ones that are promises that have meaning to you. You may not feel like you believe them. You may not feel like whatever, you know, go ahead and do it. And I want you to carry those in your pocket, in your purse. And I do want you to pull out you know, maybe it's 6 or 7 times a day, maybe when you go out and do the walk. But I want you to say God's word out loud. I want you to say it out loud. And this is just a way, I want you to begin to look for ways that you can renew your mind. And be careful. Maybe you need to limit the social media, but look at where's the negative going in, and where do I need to put maybe some guardrails, some protection around that?
You know, let's start with the verse you started with, Jeremiah 29:11. You know, that could be an anchor verse where you could go into next week going, no matter what happens with this election, God says he knows the plans he has for me, and their plans to prosper me, not to harm me, to give me a hope and a future. That's true today. That'll be true next Tuesday, and that'll be true the following week, you know. And I think it's so important to be proactive, to find these verses, as you're saying, and immerse yourself in them right now, going, this is what's true, versus I'm at the mercy of what happens next week. Wouldn't you say?
Oh, that's so well said. Yes. And that's a great anchor verse, and you described it so well. Because it'll be true tomorrow and the next week and the week after. So, you know, what foundation am I building? And so that's what we need to do. And that's why I say it's a chance for us maybe to reset some things in our life, some personal things. And don't be surprised. There'll be some attacks each time we start to realign and do some good and, you know, kind of rededicate our lives to God, and we begin to do that. Don't be surprised. There'll be some negatives that come your way. Mm-hmm. So it will happen.
Yeah. I'm going to pause here, but I want you to think again what Dr. Jantz talked about, the difference between self-absorption and self-care. Self-absorption just makes us shrivel, makes us self-absorbed, you know, where we can't see other people, we don't have empathy, compassion. But self-care suddenly puts us in a healthy place where we can actually help other people. So what does self-care need to look like for you today, tomorrow, the next day, in the next few weeks especially? And how can you prioritize that? What does self-care look like? I would love to know. Maybe there's things you're already doing right now that are super good ideas that you could share and someone else needs to hear as well. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about ways to navigate these days with a grounded sense of hope. And if you've already are in that place, like I know Karen joined in, Judy, Terry, Linda, and others have said that they really have a grounded sense of peace. How did you get there? I would love for you to share. Text 877-933-2484. And we've got 3 copies of Dr. Jantz's. It's a hardcover book, Healing Depression for Life, a personalized approach that offers new hope for lasting relief. 3 copies to give away today. Text the word book to 877-933-2484. We'll be back in a minute. Thanks so much for tuning in to Suzy Larson Live. Glad to have you listening today, talking to Dr. Gregory Jantz, and we're talking about election anxiety. We're talking about the difference between self-absorption and self-care, and I think it's really a powerful distinction to look at. Has the stress of this year, which has been tangible and significant, turned me into a self-absorbed person, or have I just learning to take better care of myself, noting the crises all around me, going, I have to take good care of myself so I can show up in life and be everything God wanted me to be? I'd love an honest answer from you. You can text in. I won't read your names, but what has it done to you and in you? Where do you find yourself right now? And again, how are you feeling about next week? A few of you have chimed in already. 877-933-2484. You can text in your answer. And also, we've got 3 copies of Dr. Gregory Jantz's book, Healing Depression for Life, a personalized approach that offers new hope for lasting change. You want in on the drawing? Just text the word book to 877-933-2484. And Karen says, I've done lots of thinking about where we are as a country. Me too, Karen. Knowing that that there are huge weaknesses on both sides of the aisle, we don't put our hope in man, only Jesus, and he promises a good future. It is his kingdom that matters, not our country. We are here to advance his kingdom here. That brings me to my knees. Wow, that's beautiful. So, Dr. Jantz, when you worked with different clients and you noticed some who come back from unbelievable circumstances to thrive, to flourish and to help other people and those who never advance. Have you noted any common denominators?
Well, one of the things that we know from doing client surveys is people can learn a lot of new skills and they need them, and it can be quite helpful. But people will tend to say, you know what really kept me on the right path, that really kept me anchored, kept me on the right road was I really developed the spiritual side of my life and my faith. So that comes up time and time again, and that's one of the, you know, the core foundations of our whole person approach is we've got to look at that. What's going to keep you on course, compass north, over the long term?
Love that. Luke writes in, says, I have had wonderful peace by simply remembering Jesus. That is beautiful, Luke. All that he is to me and all that I am in him. Okay, that makes me want to cry. He says, anxiety still attacks sometimes, but it goes away quickly when I just rest it all on Christ. Memorizing Psalm 34, wow, has helped. Colossians 3, Genesis 18, 14, and Isaiah 41. Well, Luke, I'm thoroughly and completely impressed there. One of the things that may seem like a surprise piece of advice that you offer to people is staying hydrated, that when we're anxious, we're often dehydrated. Say a word if you would.
Yeah, one of the things that I see is when we're anxious, people tend not to drink water. You know, it's like the guy that, you know, he did the 12 cups of coffee in a day, or they're drinking alcohol, but we tend, all of us, with anxiety to drink less of the good things. For example, water. We tend to not take care of that. Need that we have, and water improves mood, improves concentration. Water is vital.
You know, you think about that again. I think if we look at that self-care piece, we look at some of these things in our default responses. Are they adding to our health? Or are they taking away? Because one of the things that we really actually need is a physically strong body so that we can battle, you know, if we're exposed to the virus. There are people who have such strong immunities, they don't get the virus. So think about that. So if you're going into a place of anxiety and not contending with it and you get dehydrated, that leaves you vulnerable. If you go to a place of fear and you just go rogue and let it go there, that puts you in a vulnerable place. So this is why we're talking about this today, just making these important, just noting these things, no condemnation, but then dealing with them. Dr. Jance Terry wrote back in, I love this. Susie, how I came to my inner peace? Scripture reading and prayer becoming a daily role in my life. Also an important one you've discussed, Bible verses I've remembered and written on my heart. I repeat throughout my day. And then he says, and of course, listening to Faith Radio 24/7. That's fantastic. Well, how about you, Dr. Jance, when you and your colleagues are with people who have incredible trauma and hardship, I mean, how do you care for your soul?
You know, that's where I guess we're back to the self-care, because I made all the mistakes, you know, 30 plus years ago. It's easy to become absorbed with other people's issues, and you can sincerely care and have great intent. But we got to keep the fresh water coming in our own lives so that we really truly can be of service. It's kind of like, you know, we hear it every time you're on an airplane ride, you know, put the mask on your child first. Well, there's a reason for that. Or I put it on you first before you put it, because we have to take care of ourselves and we've got to have the fresh coming in. Mm-hmm. So that's, I really had to learn that. And I think it even made me have cleaner and better empathy and compassion for people because I could be more fully present.
That's so good. Wow, Deanna's answer too. She says, you asked how I got to that place of peace. Listen to this. It was in trying to encourage others that I had to look for God's sovereignty. The more I looked, the more peace I found. That is amazing because, again, you put yourself in a position to help others. It puts you, makes you so dependent on the Lord, and then you find him faithful. That's wonderful. Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's wonderful.
This listener says, what about the aspect of interacting with others? I think about the anxiety that rises up in me when politics comes up in the conversation sometimes, and people get angry and start attacking each other. That is so true. It's like watching two people argue and talk over each other stirs up anxiety too. What do you say to that?
Well, absolutely. There is, it's easy to fall into good and bad, and we attack one another. We make very harsh judgments. And those harsh judgments, we can belittle. It really can move over into emotional abuse. So, we need to step aside. And I know, years ago we had those bracelets that had the "What would Jesus do?" And, how do we approach those with differences? And I think it's really a heart check. What would Jesus do?
Very good. This one, I want to wrap. This is where I wish I could hug again. My name is Shia. I'm an African-American. I'm afraid for the future of my people. I'm fearful with leadership that tells people to stand by, to wait and see. I pray daily that God changes the minds of people because my life, my husband's life, and our son's life. I try to live in the words that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, but today I struggle in believing that. How do we heal that anxiety and innate fear? And I'm texting. I want to text her back, but I want to say publicly, and I'll let you answer this too, Dr. Jantz, but Shai, I want to just apologize to you for the fear that you've had to battle because of the sins of our nation and even the lack of involvement of the church and how we failed to step up the way we should have over and over again over the years to the sin of racism. And after Dr. Jantz speaks to you, I want to pray for you. But thank you for listening and for being so honest. And your fear is real. What do you say, Dr. Jantz?
Oh, I say thank you for being honest, being vulnerable. And may I... likewise, be vulnerable and transparent and say how much, gosh, we really do care. I'm saying myself. And we need to show that. And I hope that we can show our love, our Christ love. Absolutely.
Well, Father, I just thank you for Shia. I thank you for her husband, her son, and every single person that that sweet family represents. And Lord, again, we just call on you. We ask your forgiveness for the ways our own apathy has allowed other people to suffer. We pray for the African-American community. God, would you bring healing to this? It's not even a scar, Lord, it's a wound. And we ask you to heal this deep wound. But I do ask you, God, to assign extra angelic protection to Shia's family. God, may they always be in the right place at the right time. May their steps be ordered by the Lord. And instead of bracing for impact and fearing what might happen, which is real, I pray as they're in the right place at the right time, they would be overwhelmed with your hand of power, that you would use them in miraculous ways, and they would start to become people who trust you fully and are used by you mightily. We commit this dear family to you, and I thank you for this dear sister. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Precious, precious woman. Luke said, I struggled with severe anxiety for a while. I did, and I was desperate for someone to speak truth to me and love to me. So on this end of it, I realized that I need to be loving others and speaking truth, even when it seems inconvenient. You know, that's a really good point. We just got about a minute left before we wrap this, but Dr. Jantz, there is a place and a time to grab someone by the face and love to go, okay, listen to me. I want to tell you something. Maybe say a word, if you would, about that.
Well, I think as we move, and it's easy, I understand our own concerns, but if you can just every day, Lord God, show me the one person that I can speak a word to, a good word to, or be of service to, just every day. It may sound funny, but on all of our devices of our family, we have a little notification that pops up. It says, one person a day. And that's a reminder that God's going to place one person a day, at least, in your path, and to be alert to who God is sending. Moving that to our point of focus, God will use you. It will be rewarding.
Do you know, Dr. Jantz, it's ready to wrap here, but I saw you, I heard you say that on another interview when I was prepping today. So I picked up my phone, I texted my neighbor, and I just said, I just want you to know. And I just told her some things about her. And she goes, I needed a pick-me-up today. Thank you. So what a great word for all of us. One person a day, at least. Dr. Jantz, thank you for the time. We so appreciate it. We pray you found some encouragement here today, dear listener. You're all absolutely amazing. Know that I'm praying for you. We're in this together. And I'll meet you back here next time. Thanks for listening to this conversation from Suzy Larson Live. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can become a supporter now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link to spread the good news of the gospel and to grow the impact of the show. Also, if you would, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at Apple Podcasts or your favorite podcast player, and never miss a show.